And a high fly ball, center field. He hit it a ton. It's gone. And the 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Football. Short drop. Lobs one down the sideline for Binns. He's got it! Touchdown! 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 Armand Binns!
See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
And it is Bob.
Oh, yeah!
And caught!
Yeah!
AJ Green makes the catch. Woo! On the ricochet Hail Mary. As a prayer is answered in the end zone by Adriel Jeremiah Green.
All right, welcome to Riverfront Radio. It is Tuesday, May 7th, and we are recording this after the Jackets lost to the Boston Bruins in Game 6. So they are officially eliminated, so a few of us are probably not as happy as we could be on this Monday night when we record. And I would like to hear from Whit first, because he is brooding.
I mean, I don't have anything to say about it. I'd rather just move on to the Reds.
Okay.
Honestly. I don't have anything that's going to be productive to say.
Score a fucking goal.
The whole story is going to be how fucking Rask was awesome. But he had 37 stops tonight. He had some great saves, but I'd say like 30 of those stops were shot directly into his fucking pads or into his fucking chest. He had so many opportunities. Like, just lift the puck a little bit.
When I saw the first quote from Tortorella saying, "I think we dented their goalie," I thought he was talking shit about his own team, saying it straight at him.
Yeah.
The whole fucking series, which is exactly what happened. And I thought that's what it was. I don't think that's actually what he meant. It was more, that was geared more towards what actually the case was. They got some goals in Game 4 that, you know, or Game 5. That, I mean, I think maybe Boston let off the gas a little bit and the Jackets were able to get back and tied up. I didn't see, I saw the highlights. I was at the Reds game, thank God. So I didn't have to live that terrible, terrible game. And I wish there was a fucking Reds game I could have gone to tonight instead of this. But here we are.
I mean, the Jackets have no one to blame but themselves.
It's not
Boston's fault. It's not Rask's fault. I mean, great. They played better, but that's not because they're the better team. I think you saw what they did to Tampa in the first round. I mean, that team just disappeared. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the fucking layoff, if they just could never get going after that. They lost some momentum. I don't know. I mean, at this point, you went 6 games. That's not an excuse to not get it started, but...
And why do we always lose, and this is across the board for all of our sports, we always lose to the most unlikable teams with the most unlikable fan bases.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing I can think of that wasn't that way was when the Reds lost to the Giants in the playoffs. Like, that, I mean, even then, San Francisco fans can be kind of a pain in the ass at times, but they're nothing compared to the Bostons, the St. Louis's, the Pittsburghs, the Washingtons, like... Although the Washington thing just bothered me a little bit last time, because I think it was more so the way they lost it and how I hate Kucherov and his fucking wing flapping goal celebration and all that stuff. But I don't like why. It's like torturous. Like, and you can't get on social media with everybody. Like I just, they need to be knocked down a peg. That's all I cannot, I rue the day that Boston sports takes another downward turn and turns into what they, I mean, I feel dirty for rooting for the Red Sox in 2004 to win their World Series, because you just wanted to see someone knock the Yankees off their throne.
Yeah.
Now the Red Sox are everything you hated about the Yankees. The Patriots, they're never going to fucking lose. And then you got the Bruins, who Bruins fans only exist during the playoffs or for the push for the playoffs. And I think that's the most exhausting part of it. And I know Portnoy's the biggest one, but he does it every single year when he goes into Hockey Dave mode. So that one doesn't bother me as much, because I think if it wasn't the Jackets he was playing, it probably would have made me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, Portnoy does that because he
that's who he is.
Yeah, well, and it's
brand.
It is. I mean, it's his business. I mean,
yeah.
He gets so much interaction by talking shit to whoever he's going up against, whether he
T-shirt is sales and yeah, like it's, rallying it's, the troops. But
I mean, that's all business. Like I can at least respect. It's a pain in the ass when you're on the other side of it, but that I get. Like, but I don't know. I just feel like the entire Boston fan base is nothing but human trash, and I feel like they do not deserve any of the sports success that they've seen, let alone fucking all of it. Every single team is always fucking good, and it's so fucking obnoxious. And I thought there's, you know, no way that they can continue to do that because they absolutely don't fucking deserve it. And maybe they still won't have that success. Maybe they'll get beat by, maybe they'll get beat by Carolina. Maybe they'll lose in the finals. There's no way they win the fucking Stanley Cup. And yeah, I got my hopes up. I was selfish. I thought the Blue Jackets were going to be the ones that were, you know, knocked them off. If the Blue Jackets lost in the second round to Toronto, if Toronto knocked off Boston, I wouldn't be this pissed off. If the Blue Jackets made it the next round and got beat by Carolina, you know what? You know, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's, you know, that's not bad. But losing in the second round of fucking Boston, I mean, the only thing that would have been worse is if they would have matched up with Pittsburgh in the first round and lost that game. Like, that's the only way I would have been more pissed off, I think.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee Bucks are beating the Boston Celtics 3-1.
Fuck, I know.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm probably the biggest Denver Nuggets fan I know, and I care more about the Bucks Celtics series than I do what's going on in the Nuggets series. But I mean,
especially since Paul Pierce said it was done after game one.
Yeah. Oh, fuck Paul Pierce.
Yeah, he was like, it's done.
You want to hear a rant about someone Boston? No. No, it's not going to even start on Paul Pierce because then I will never end this conversation. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. And that's what I was telling my wife. And sorry, ladies, I'm married.
You're married?
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yeah, you know, but hey, followers. I don't know, depending on how this podcast goes, you know, but no, never mind. I was about to say something that could ruin a lot of future relationships. Not that mine included. Now I lost my train of thought. All because I was going to make a terrible joke about something. Oh, like, so, like, I jokingly am like, oh, I mean, yeah, like everybody knows, like, how I randomly, like, got tweeted by the Nuggets one night, and we became friends, and so I pledged my allegiance to their fans, or to their organization. I've watched maybe 2.5 Nuggets games this year. One of them was in the playoffs. One of them was early in the season. One of them was in the playoffs, and I flipped around when they were on, like, TNT one night. So I don't really, I mean, I know that they're playing well, and I know that they're in the series with the Blazers right now. But I told my wife, I was like, watch, like, as much as I live and die with every second of every game with the Reds, the Bengals, the Blue Jackets, anything OU, even though I know they never have a chance of making anything on the national stage except for the year they made the run to the Sweet 16, like, it'll be the Nuggets that fucking win. And I'm going to have to act happy, which – my life doesn't matter. Like, my happiness is not hinging on what the Denver Nuggets do, but this would be the team that I've supposedly latched onto that's going to win something for once, and I'm not even going to get to enjoy it. It'd be like dirty. It'd be like being traded. Not even being traded, because even then you've got like a couple months left in the season. But like, it'd be like getting picked up for the conference finals and then making it to the finals, like, as a player. Like, you didn't play with the team all year, but for some reason through either free agency or you got called up because of, you know, an injury or something through the, you know, like we did with that dude from Russia, like when his season was done in the KHL. Like, that was what it would feel like.
So you'd feel like Monix.
Yeah. I'd
just on the team.
I'd feel like Woody Harrelson from semi-pro.
All right.
That's what I was.
You talked about call-ups. Let's do it. Nick Senzel is officially up for the Reds, and he's here to stay.
Who knew he was good?
He's looked great.
I didn't even know. I was talking about how he was the top prospect. Apparently, I was late to that party.
I liked how, and I don't even know who it was. It was somebody that was bitching on Twitter about something, and they were like, "Okay, let's talk about how he's sitting on the Mendoza line." It's like literally 3 games into his career, and now he's closer to 300 after today. Like, he's, I mean, he's hitting the ball well, and he even said he doesn't feel like he's going yet, which maybe that's just his little bit of arrogance or cockiness being a pretty good hitter. He doesn't feel like he's reaching his full potential right now, and he's got 3 home runs in his first 4 games. Isn't that what it is? So
I think he hit, did he hit 2 today?
He hit 2 today.
In the B game, as it will forever be known.
Yeah. Which that was, I mean, he should have had 2 on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, he got robbed. That was an amazing catch at the wall.
Yes, it was. He deserved that catch. That was a hell of a play. Like, and that sucks for Senzel that was.
Was that Hunter Pence?
No, it's
some guy that looks just like him.
I forget what his name is.
Yeah, it was kind of like he overplayed it too, because he did.
He jumped
back for it, but it was sweet looking.
Yeah.
He earned every bit of that catch. I was a fan of the Van Meter call-up. I thought that was cool. And it was kind of taking a chance. The guy's hot. He's been crushing a ball in AAA. It's cool to see it. I don't feel like that happened in the past where they called up, like, kind of a fringe guy like that. And none of us knew at the beginning of the year that Van Meter would have a chance of coming up.
No. When I saw that he... Go ahead, sorry.
I can't remember the last time that they've pulled up a player like that where you don't expect him to make a big league debut, but he's the hot hand, so they're like, you know, let's give him a chance. So it's kind of cool to see that.
And that's the thing they were saying too, and today talking about how they didn't know if he had even played in any of their spring training games.
Yeah,
they're like they like he may have played one of the ones that they don't really keep the official score of, like when they call the not the same type of B game that Dan was just talking about. When they talk about a B game, when it's more of a split squad situation and they've got a bunch of guys with no names on their jerseys and everything like that. But he was a guy that I don't know, like he didn't get an offer to the major league camp to begin with. Like, he was always on the minor league fields. He just kind of used that as motivation. He's been crushing the ball. He led all of minor leagues in home runs right now.
Yeah,
pretty much every offensive stat.
I was going to say, he's leading quite a few offensive stat categories.
And he got hit by a pitch today, so he's already...
On base percentage, baby.
But like Jeff said, I didn't know anything about the guy, and I feel like you know at least the first, like, 4 or 5 prospects that you expect to see at some point. But... didn't know anything about the guy. When I saw that he was crushing the ball, I assumed he was one of those guys that was like 28, 29 years old, like a grizzled vet, like almost like
I first heard about
Davis
him last week because I think him and Senzel like hit back-to-back home runs or something in the minors.
Yeah, and I heard of him the same way that I heard of, you know, like Jose Siri, where he was on his tear with the Dragons that one year. It was just Twitter, people talking about him, and it's like... I don't know. Like, I hope he sticks. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that they've brought up permanently unless he just proves that there's no way you can send him back down. Senzel, obviously, he's here to stay, barring any sort of Scott Schebler turn.
Yeah, that was made pretty clear once Schebler was sent down and Matt Kemp got designated for assignment, released.
Which I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I thought at least they would wait. And obviously, I expected him to play better, but I thought he would at least make it to the trade deadline and be like a trade piece. But he just never caught on and didn't really seem like he wanted to be here either. So
do you buy the whole theory that he was a locker room cancer and just had the bad attitude? Because obviously, that story, not storyline, I don't want to call it a storyline. That's what everyone started speculating when, you know, the "I just work here, man" comments came out. And then, you'd hear people start to interpret the way, the front office was talking about, their decision to release him. They're like, see, look, they could tell he was a, locker room cancer. And this is just people on Twitter speculating. And I still don't think I buy into that.
I think he
just wasn't performing. I mean, the offense was shit. I mean, they haven't been scoring runs at all until, the past, few days. Even before they made those moves, they started scoring runs finally. But, I mean, he wasn't really, contributing much to that. So, at this point, I mean, what's the point of keeping him around?
Do you think he was BCC'd on front office emails talking shit about him? that was the rumors with Magic Johnson why he left.
Really?
Someone copied him on emails where Genie Bus and Rob Pelinka were talking shit about
that
him.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That makes someone that puts me back on Magic's side, I think.
That's why you don't hit reply all.
I fear the day that I hit reply all on a very important podcast email with sponsors. I don't know anyone's going to sponsor the podcast after that first 5 minutes, but I think with Matt Kemp too, in their comments, they said the right things. Like, we're going to give him the opportunity to play more and help another team because we don't see him helping us, which I agree with. I don't think you want to take at bats away from Jesse Winker. Especially, I mean, New York Mets super star Jesse Winker. That's something we haven't talked about since we last recorded. We can talk about that in a little bit. But I think with Matt Kemp, it was one of those deals, like you said, I don't think he was locker room cancer. I could see where maybe he was butting heads with not being used the way he wanted to be used. But I don't think – and I brought that up in the blog I wrote about him being released was I guess last week it was – I was sitting there and I had, you know, I could see everything that was going on in the dugout from our seats. And he was mixing it up with all the guys. He was messing around. He was part of the whole thing that led to Luis Castillo flipping off Scooter Gennett. Like, they were hanging out. All the injured guys and the pitchers that weren't pitching, the starting pitchers down there were, you know, just chumming it up. And even like Dietrich and them were down there goofing around at times in between innings, like just messing with each other. And Kemp was right there with it all. So I don't think, like Whitty said, I don't buy that Kemp was a locker room cancer. I buy if someone were to tell me that he was voicing his displeasure with how he was being used before his injury, and then they saw the chance now to release him in order to kind of just wipe the slate clean so he could be free to sign wherever he wanted when he was healthy, then that's the story I would believe, honestly. If that's what was told to me, I'd say that makes perfect sense based on everything you saw and heard from his time. He's going to be one of those obscure Reds. Like, you forget that he was a Red, like Jim Edmund. Honestly, if it wasn't me hating him for the way he badmouthed Cincinnati after he left, I'd forget that Jim Edmonds was even a Red, honestly. But yeah, I don't know.
So you touched on one of the guys that was messing around in the dugout. Derek Dietrich is quickly becoming my favorite Red. Yeah. He's hilarious.
And it's a guy, again, you didn't expect to be doing what he's doing. Like, he's fun to watch because he's having fun, but he's also playing really well.
He was one of those guys that when they signed him, everybody said, I don't understand how nobody had signed him yet. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a really good career in Miami, and I think he's got a chip on his shoulder because he thinks that he was sent out of Miami a little bit earlier and sooner than he should have been. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the same with Jose Iglesias. Like, he's the same way but Dietrich, like you said, Dan, like, how can you not like the guy?
Yeah.
Like,
he looks like someone that I would want to hang out with, of the
baseball field. Until you see where he's from. Yeah. But, knowing like the way his energy and how excited he gets and how sexy he looked when his jersey got ripped off of him when he was in Miami, like you said, just want to hang out with him. And I don't know, I guess I'd have to be the big spoon because I'm a little chunkier than him. Not much. Give me a week or two and I think we're probably looking pretty similar, but
a week or two
can't grow the hair. But the first time I think I ever really heard, I heard him talking a little bit on some of those like behind the whatever, what I forget what they call it for the Reds in spring training when they do like the little like half hour, like, hey, let's check in on how things have been going for the last week in spring training. Like, you heard him just like in his quick sound bites about how excited he was to play for his quote unquote home state. I mean, he's from Ohio.
Yeah,
not from this area, but he's from Ohio, so this is kind of him coming home. And the first time I ever really heard him truly speak and actually, you know, full on sentences and having a conversation was after he hit that home run on opening day.
Yep.
And I expected, and I've used this so many times talking to other people, so anyone that's listening to this podcast has probably heard me say this already in person, but I feel like he is. Like, I expected him to sound like John Travolta's character from Grease the first time he talked. Like,
yeah.
I thought he was a Jersey boy, like, even though I knew where he's from, I knew what I expected him to sound like. And he's so soft-spoken. You can tell he's just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, the voice and the personality doesn't fit the look. Like, with the chain and, like...
Mm-hmm.
But, and by all accounts, he seems to be a good teammate. You haven't heard his... He's not upset, it doesn't sound like, with his playing time. He's not starting every day, even though he probably should. There's just really... I mean, where do you...
He just got creative. Two other guys on the team with 9 home runs.
Mm-hmm. I know. Suarez went 10 today, didn't he?
Oh, did he hit? Did he
I
hit 10?
Suarez, which that was the best part about them going back to back to back is when Dietrich hit his. You know, like the first thing he did was looked at the dugout, like, "Hey, gotcha." And if you get guys hot like that, not just talking about the shirtless picture, but if you get guys that are hot like that, like you're gonna have success. Like they always like. Competition breeds success in that instance, even if it's internal competition. And I think that's what's exciting about some of these younger guys. And even though Votto hasn't really been himself yet, you see a lot of these young guys that are just flourishing under the opportunities they're getting.
So I think like earlier in the season, the problem with the team was that we weren't scoring any runs.
Yeah.
And now that we're finally scoring runs, the fucking bullpen is falling apart. Yeah, so it's like we just can't play a complete game.
Yeah, and fuck Rocio Iglesias. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna ask you to come on the podcast ever because he's.
No, come on.
No, come on. No, 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 no. You.
I don't speak Spanish.
I could try. I'll just say no.
I took it like 9 times in college. I don't know it. So.
But. Like he's, I don't know if you guys saw, he's upset with his use right now. Like he's upset that he's being used in non-save situations. First of all, the Reds haven't had a ton of non-save situations to begin with. So you'd just be sitting in the bullpen rusting. Two, like.
What's his record?
He's like 1-5, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 1-5.
With like, or he's blown like, blown 4 of his last 5 save attempts or something. I forget what the rule, I forget what the actual stat is, but. It's like, and I know that it's a mental thing, and some guys just aren't able to come in, but you're a professional. Like, get the guys out. And part of it was, I don't know why, and I like David Bell, and I've liked a lot of the decisions he's made. There have been some that you can tell are being made by a first-year manager where he maybe overanalyzes things or overmanages. But Amir Garrett should not have been pulled the other night when Iglesias was given the opportunity to blow that game.
Yeah.
Like, Amir Garrett was dealing. Amir Garrett matches up just as good against righties as he does lefties. They came in for the righty-righty matchup. Guy hits a double. The next thing is 2-run home run. Game's over. Like, I don't know. Like, Iglesias, if you want to come on the pod, you can. But just get a couple saves first. I want to see you clap your glove and point to the sky at least 3 more times before you're welcome.
So, we talked about how the Reds got off to that horrendous 1-8 start. But since that start, they've been playing a little over 500 ball. I think they're like 14-12 or something around there since that start. So, I mean, yeah, they had a shitty start, but it seems like they've turned it around a little bit and they're starting to play closer to what we expected them to be. Because we expected them to be a little bit better than 500, and that seems to be what they're doing now. And hopefully, they'll eventually get up to that 500 mark and maybe over it a few games.
Else to start losing.
And Scooter's hurt. He's not playing yet. There's a couple injuries.
Said he's still a little ways away before he can start baseball activities, but he's hoping it's soon. He's someone that's going to require a lot of rest, a lot of days off probably early on when he comes back just because of the nature of his injury. So I think that's an opportunity for Dietrich to really get some more at-bats and maybe – make Scooter expendable. Like, I mean, I love Scooter Jeanette, but I believe Derek Dietrich's a couple years younger, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Scooter's going to turn 30 this year, or he already did.
And I think Dietrich's in his late 20s, mid, like, 27, 28-ish. So not that much difference. But, I mean, it's enough where I think you can get more out of Scooter than you can Dietrich. I think Dietrich could get traded as a bench bat. Down the stretch during the playoff race, and I think Scooter gets traded more as a everyday second baseman. But I think Dietrich's good enough to be an everyday second baseman. His gloves maybe not all there, but I mean I'll take his at bats. versus, you know, not having Brandon Phillips range any day of the week. But
before you guys hopped on, too, I mean, I was telling Dan that it actually reminds me kind of Scooter's, like, development in the program, how Dietrich's coming on.
Yeah.
A lot like Scooter was a couple years ago, so kind of a late, you know, signing in the spring. I think Scooter was, like, super late in the spring. And then,
yeah.
Well, he got cut. Like, he wasn't just, like, a free agent. The Brewers cut him.
Which
he came on, like, right before spring training ended, didn't he?
Yeah, it was pretty quick, like, right before the season. But for all the praise that the Brewers get for trading for Yelich, like, they deserve just as much shit for getting rid of Scooter the way they did.
Yeah.
But then again, Scooter, it's one of those deals, kind of like our Edwin and Encarnacion situation. Does he become Scooter without that event? Like, Edwin never becomes Edwin in Cincinnati until the Reds, because the son of a bitch got reassigned, whatever the hell you want to call it, DFA'd by the Indians. Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden, like, or no, I'm sorry, the Indians, the Blue Jays. So it wasn't like all of a sudden the Reds cut ties with Edwin and all of a sudden he's this all-star. So I think Scooter falls under that a little bit too. But I don't know. I love Dietrich too, because he reminds me of early Brandon Phillips that you can tell his teammates like.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's one of those deals where he's like that. He's got Scooter's likability with his teammates, with Brandon Phillips, like, swagger about him. Like, he just instills confidence in the rest of the team, and it's almost infectious. Like, he's having fun. And, like, when's the last time you saw people have fun like that? And he grows a great mustache. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say the mustache was impressive. I was hated to see that it was gone already today. But
amazing how fast he grew that thing.
Yeah, crazy. I was going to say, no, I mean, he can help out with pest control, too. So that's something skill that you don't see with a lot of guys. So
did you see the side-by-side video where they – not side-by-side, but, like, the different clips of – how how the Giants broadcast was handling the situation, how the Reds broadcast was handling the situation.
Yeah.
The Reds, like, Chris Welsh and I guess it was Tom. Was Tom on TV today? I don't know. Whoever was with Chris Welsh, I was listening to it on the radio. But so whoever's on TV with Chris Welsh, I think it was Tom, they were joking around and having a great time with it. Like, oh, Derek Dietrich out there, like, pest control, beekeeper, and at first it looked like he put on one of those hazmat suits, which I assume they had for, like, mixing the chemicals for, like, all the fertilizer and all that stuff. But, like, it was just a white dress shirt that he put on over his jersey. So he was wearing his white baseball pants and a white dress shirt and then his baseball helmet. And with one of the, I'm guessing it was some sort of spray for killing weeds or something. I don't know what that, but it was like the Scott's, like, backpack spray thing. And looked like he was actually out there to spray the bees away. But the Reds broadcast was loving it, and the Giants broadcast was not thrilled. They're like, if this is a joke, this is just not right. Like, you could tell the Giants broadcasters had nothing, no fun with it, and they just wanted to get out of town. And they were annoyed by the delay, which...
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I guess Danny alluded to it earlier by calling it the B game, but if you're not aware listening to this, the Reds-Giants game yesterday was delayed because there's a swarm of bees on the field. And I saw the Reds posted some pictures of Dietrich and, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's out here helping or whatever. And I saw so many people responding on Facebook, like, I hope he's not out there killing those bees. I mean, if you know, just all you got to do is find the queen and move it and they'll come. Like, get a beekeeper in there. Like, you know, you don't want to be killing bees. Like, you know, all the bees are gone. Then you're going to really be missing it when, you know, they're the one pollinating all the flowers and whatever. Like, people are getting so up in arms and, like, obviously he's not out there with fucking insecticide trying to kill a swarm of bees from the ground. Like,
I'd be out there with a fucking tennis racket.
Yeah.
Just whipping his bat.
Yeah. That scene from Mafia when they got the bug gas or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I will say, I'll give, I think it was Jamie Ramsey. He's the Reds PR guy or whatever. I don't even know what he does over there. Something with team communications. He posted the gif of Joe Bluth when he's trying to figure out what he's like, bees, when they're confused about what he's trying to say. But that made me laugh. There were a lot of funny gifs and just memes that came out of the whole situation. So Dietrich's the star of the show the last week, this whole series, like not only offensively, but you know, on Saturday night, he was wearing his hat goofy with the hoodie underneath it, which the hat thing, I don't even know where the hat thing came from, but it was funny to me for some reason. And then the whole rocking the fake mustache and the just really old school look with the throwback jerseys on Sunday. So
dude, I loved it. I loved every second of it.
I know. And I didn't like the jerseys at first. I rated it pretty poorly right away, but seeing them on the guys in the game, I didn't hate them as much as I thought I would.
The white ones are terrible.
Yeah, like, I mean
the collar, that was weird.
The collar is stupid.
That's what they wore way back then. So I get I don't think anyone's wearing it because like, oh, this might be a good looking uniform. I think they're just doing it for the quirkiness of it, which I guess I can kind of respect that. But yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't like the blue one just because it looked too much like an Indian's uniform to me. But it's funny to me, and I think they're gonna have this with all of the throwback uniforms. Is you know they look good for what they are in the field, but when they're batting and they got their regular Reds batting helmets on, it just looks so weird. Like the blue ones, like with the bright red helmets, they look like a softball team out there.
And it did. You expected like the fast pitch, like Cage, to be on some of them.
Yeah.
The red pants are the ones I'm interested in seeing.
The Bermuda, whatever they called them.
Yeah. Those are the ones that I want to see what they look like on the field. Yeah.
So there's two that I think should become permanents. It should be the 1967 Reds.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Because that's just a pinstripe look with the regular red hat. It's modern looking enough where it can get by, and it's traditional enough. It always bothers me, and it is cool that the Reds have all these old uniforms because of how much they've changed over the years. But being the oldest professional franchise in baseball, like, I feel like they should have just a signature, like, this has been the Reds' look for their entire duration of their, like, you know, Yankees. Like, exactly. I think they should be the Yankees. No, but I...
No, I mean, I know what you're saying.
No, I know. I was just being a dick.
Typical.
But, yeah, I do agree. I think the Yankees look is just, you know a Yankees uniform when you see it. There's about half of the uniforms that the Reds are going to wear this year. If you took off the actual word mark or the like Mr. Red Leg logo, you would have no idea. Like, oh, that's what the Reds wear. But if you see that pinstripe, that's like right there, that's the Reds. Or like the Phillies, like cream home creams or their pinstripes. Like, that's the same way. So I don't know. The 67 homes would be awesome to keep. And then it's not practical, and I don't think anybody'd go for it. But I really like those early 90s gray aways that kind of had the, like, almost like goofy. They were vests, but they almost came over the shoulder a little bit. You remember those? And, like, the guys with cannons for arms, like guys like us, they wouldn't have worn an undershirt.
Ryan Gant.
Yep. I feel like, I'm trying to think, was Kevin Mitchell one of the guys that never wore an undershirt? There was just a couple of guys that, like, they just suns out, guns out. Like, they look like studs out there, but, but yeah, and I will say, like, I hope that it was just because of the one in the actual pro shop, but the jerseys that are becoming up later in the whole, if you're unaware, you probably have heard us talk about it. The Reds are wearing 15 different throwbacks on the weekend series at home this year. The ones that have the vest in the pro shop, they're not just the vest. They actually have like the sewn on sleeves of color. And I really
like that.
No, and I hope that's not how the Reds actually wear them. I hope that they actually have true vests. But these are like the MLB, like authentic cool base ones. So it makes me worried that this is going to be. I guess you don't know until you see them. But they could really ruin the whole throwback look if that's the way they go.
So you had talked about this a little bit before. And that's Jesse Winker kind of turning into the nemesis of the New York Mets fans. And that entire scenario was just hilarious to me, to see him just trolling fans left and right in New York.
Yeah.
And that's a side of Jesse that I don't think I had seen before.
Nah. And he's never had the play to back it up. So that's probably why we've never seen it. Like, he's either been hurt or struggling for the first part of his career, but I agree with you, Dana. I think it's funny. Like, And like I said, like the same thing we've talked about with earlier about like it being against your team, you hate it. But like if it was somebody else doing that, I'd probably be a little annoyed or just dislike it in general. But yeah, like him creating this rivalry with the New York Mets fans, it was pretty funny. Actually, we did like we were recording that night the first time it happened.
When you're
like,
waving.
Oh, and now, yeah, I was like, he made the heel turn. He waved to all the fans that were harassing him out in left field all night. But, it showed a side of Mets Twitter that I did not know existed.
They had already, like, by the end of the night, they had already changed his Wikipedia entry to be like, you know, Jesse Winker is a mediocre baseball player and a troll.
Yeah. And the guys that took it, like, they were like, there were people calling for him to be hit by a pitch and, like, what did he do? Like,
these Cardinals fans?
Yeah, I know. Seriously, it was like a best fans in baseball thread for some of these people that you were seeing. Like, and I get, like, I think it's kind of funny that people went to his Instagram and started waving to him. And I also think that he can handle it. The only thing about that entire series that pissed me off that I wish would have been done differently that would have made this whole thing even better is when he got ejected. When he got ejected, I feel like he should have either like tipped his cap or waved goodbye to all the people that were waving back to him.
Yeah.
But he was probably so mad, like that was the last thing he was thinking about. But
yeah,
that was funny to see. And I guess there's some sort of fan club. I heard about that. They've already been selling a group outing to when the Mets come to Cincinnati. They've already sold like 1,000 tickets for people to come down here.
They're
for
just
that series,
sit in right field.
I guess, like it'll be funny to see. That's what we were joking about. Like, they if David Bell is wants to join in on the trolling, either start him in center field after they all bought tickets in a certain section, or or give him the week off type of deal, just to make him waste all their money. But I don't know. It was all good fun, and there was some. Like, I think I don't know if you guys saw anything with. Like the only like two Mets, well, I guess there's three, but there's two that are worth talking about. Mets fans, like KFC at Barstool and then Clem at Barstool are both huge Mets fans. KFC's normal KFC stuff where he's, you know, F this is the worst. I don't know why I censor myself there. We've been dropping it all night. But, like Clem was like, you know, like I love this move. Like he's such a dickhead, but like you got to respect it. And I love it. And I love that he's trolling. And he had the take that we have a lot of times is like, the only reason I'm mad about this is because it came against my team. Like,
right.
And he actually liked it. And that's the way that I feel like most people should be. But there are people calling for like, they think he should be like hit by a pitch. They think like he's a scumbag. Like what? Since when does waving to people who've been cussing at you all night make you a scumbag?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he like chucked a ball up into the stands when people weren't paying attention or like.
Yeah.
Or he did something like personal, or like he wasn't like he cussed out an old lady like sitting there like it seems like for the most part like they were all just having fun feeding back and forth to each other, and then the fact that the games didn't have the outcome the Mets fans wanted, and Jesse got the best of them in those two games. That's what made Jesse Winker a bad guy all of a sudden. But if he doesn't make that last catch of the game to wave to them on that sliding catch. None of this ever happens, I feel like. It just, it goes away. Like, but, I don't know. The Reds have been fun, though. Like it,
they're fun to watch.
What are they, 15 or 16 and 20 right
15
now?
15 and 20.
For being 15 and 20, they've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And it's, like Dan said, take away that 1-8 start, and they're playing good baseball. Like, it feels like a loss this week, taking 2 out of 4 from the Giants, considering they should have swept it if pitching didn't blow their big leads. I don't know. It's nice. We'll get to see Kyler Murray in the Oakland A's this week as we head out west. Wait, producer's in my ear. I'm being told that Kyler Murray did not sign with the Oakland A's. Okay, never mind. So we don't have Kyler Murray. We just got, I don't know who else. I don't even know. I mean, Chris Davis.
The ultimate screw job for the Cardinals if he was also like, I think I'll play baseball. Yeah.
Which he still could, the way that everything, like there's nothing saying he can't. But that first time one of the Watt brothers hits him in the AFC West.
Yeah.
Or NFC West. Which Watt brother is that? Not Watt. Bosa brother.
Yeah.
What's his name? Nick.
Nick.
Right? Nick's the one that went to San Francisco?
Nick's in San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah. As soon as Nick Bosa hits him, we'll see. He might be calling Billy Beane. But, yeah, they've got the Chris Davis that doesn't suck. And they've got, I call him I don't even know how you would say. Chris, K-H-R-I-S, right? Is that how you spell it?
K-Chris.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I like watching West Coast baseball, especially in stadiums we never get to see them play in.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they call that place now. Is it named after some weird bank or something? Whatever Oakland.
I just thought it was called Oakland Alameda.
Oh, I thought it was County named Coliseum. Something else.
I think it probably is at this point. That's just the last thing I've known it as. O.co.
But yeah, so we got that coming up. We got tomorrow night. We got more West Coast baseball. I don't know. You guys got any thoughts?
Start like usual.
10:07. I know.
Be late night. Yeah, these are gonna be some late games. I will probably stay up for the first pitch, and that's about it.
Yeah, I usually fall asleep on the couch and wake up with an arm I can't move.
Yeah.
Usually by mid-afternoon, I can start moving my arm around. But
see Jeff Picaro wrapping the game up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm waking up and realizing I need to throw my clothes in the dryer for work in the morning. But yeah, there's really Bengals haven't been giving us much to talk about, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
The video about Pac-Man getting arrested in a casino came out, which was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
Didn't see the video. It's what you would expect. He was at the blackjack table, and when he got dealt a good hand, he would try to, what do they call it, capping your bets. Like, he would just slide another chip up.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then he acted like he got super confrontational when they called him on it when he tried to leave. I think he knew his...
Pac-Man? Didn't seem like his style.
Part of his probation is he's not allowed to drink, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was one of those things where... He knew that he was screwed, so he got up and tried to get out of there. But we've been to that casino, and I guess maybe there's got to be a high stakes room. I think.
Probably.
But I was
playing $20 hands.
and
of all he slide another five up there.
Mm-hmm. Of all the casinos to do it at, like the casino he was at, we've all been to. It is like of all the casinos in this area. Maybe he thought he could get away with it because it's probably I would call like the most rinky-dink casino. Like it's one of the old school ones where
Where was it? Rising Sun?
Yeah.
Rising Star, whatever they call it now. Rising
Star, yeah. Like it's a cool casino and the golf course is nice. But like, and they got good deals and they've got Skyline and the Roses that's open till like 3 a.m.
Yes.
That was pretty
which
cool.
was huge. But they also. It's like the old school Indiana casino from when they all had to be on the river.
And they all had to be jam packed with smoke, or else you're not allowed in. You got to be smoking.
Yeah, if you don't. Yeah, like,
it did feel like a requirement.
They just hand you a cart of oxygen Argosy. On your way out.
Argosy would just be so bad. Oh, it's still. Stack of
marbles
great.
On the way in.
I feel like it's a major missed opportunity on Pac-Man's part for not, once he realized he was busted and he wanted to try and get out there, he should have just, like, reached over and, like, grabbed a tray of chips and just tossed them all up in the air and then, like, ran in the melee or whatever. I feel like that's something you'd see in a movie or something, so I feel like he should have done that.
I'm convinced he had an Ocean's 11 thing going and his buddies just bailed on him. He just...
or maybe didn't. Not. Maybe it worked, and they're just trying to keep sweeping under the rug because they don't want the bad publicity. Maybe Rising Star's broke now. Is that one of Terry Benedict's casinos?
I'm going to guess Terry Benedict's never been in Southeast Indiana. But that's just me.
Don't you have to be really smart to count cards?
This fictitious character has never, in my mind, never been to Aurora, Indiana. There's something I was going to say about that, but now I don't remember either. So
the casinos in West Virginia, shouldn't you just gone there and try to rip them off?
No.
It's old stomping.
No. No. You don't
would have got away with it there.
You don't steal from your home.
Yeah,
they
sure eat.
I knew there was something. There was some sort of saying I was going for. That was what I was going to say. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, but I just saw something about sports gambling being pretty close to being approved in Indiana. Did you see that? It's like their one signature. I think they just need the governor's signature. So that would be good and bad for all of us that live so close to Indiana. And that could really make things fun and interesting. So, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I really don't know what else there's to talk about. It's sad that the best Pac-Man, or best Bengals news we could talk about was Pac-Man getting arrested in the casino.
It's usually old reliable this time of year. It really is. Thank you again, Adam Jones.
Yeah.
For giving us some Bengals news to talk about in the offseason.
Thank you for not spitting on any cops this time.
Seriously.
That we know of. So.
Oh, well. All right. I guess that wraps it up for Riverfront Radio this week.
Yeah. I feel like I have to say, because I know Boston fans are a bunch of sensitive sallies. I realize that you're not all human trash. Don't fucking take it so goddamn seriously.
Yes.
Most of you are pieces of shit. Yes. But not all of you. And deal with it. You're the next round or not. So just fucking take your win.
Yeah. There's a couple that I always go back and forth with on Twitter that are very respectable and I enjoy talking to. But most of the people that get retweeted into my timeline or I see replying on tweets in my timeline are pond scum.
Just let me be mad online for a little bit, please. Download the podcast and tell your friends about
it. And if you don't like anything that was said, just Hungry Jefe on Twitter. Yeah. That's J-E-F-E. Hungry Jefe. J-E-F-E. And he will handle all the...
I will eat you.
All right. Take warning. The Hurricanes hashtag.
Oh no, go Canes. Canes are bots.
Oh no, I want Canes.
I can't wait to see Don Cherry's head explode when the Canes make the final. All right.
Bye.
All right. Sorry for thanks for listening.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Go fuck yourself, Boston.
Sorry.